Holy hallelujah. Once again, I just want to thank you for being here tonight. Does anybody just want to brag on the Lord tonight? For any reason at all, anything you want to say?
Thank the Lord, he's so good to me. Yeah.
That's right. Anybody else?
Thank the Lord for saving my own
worthy soul. That's right. Yes, it is.
Just can't say the word so much
harder. Amen. It's good. Anybody else?
Thank the Lord for saving me. He's been so good to me. I know I've failed him many times, but he's never failed me. He's always there when I need him. Keeps me going every day, and I just can't praise him enough.
That's right. Amen.
I come back in 1951. I was 15 years old. I accepted the Lord. A friend invited me to the Bible. It was just kids. Kids used to flock to the church.
Yeah. Amen. Can't understand how people don't want to. Well, in a way I can, because I was one of them at one time. Thank the Lord I'm not no more. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Anyone else?
I thank the Lord for saving me and for all his blessings.
Amen. Amen. Where does he live at, you know?
I'd love to see him too. I miss him.
Yeah.
Did y'all say he moved to South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
We need to. Well, I'll tell you what. We may be up here, but the Lord can still reach them there. And we all just need to pray that God will just get a hold to his heart and just put his daddy on the forefront of his mind, that he can, start thinking and everything, and he may just want to ride up here one weekend or wherever he's at, and want to come see his daddy. And then maybe, I don't know if he's saved, I don't know if he's lost or what, but we need to just pray for him. We need to just pray for him. And, prayer is the only thing that we have today. And like I said, prayer can reach from Danville, Virginia, and Ringgold, Virginia, to South Carolina, to Georgia, to Florida, anywhere. It can reach overseas. And we have no idea and how much the prayers that goes up for people, that where we'll reach out and touch them. Because somebody else prayed for us. Somebody had us on their mind. I know the Lord did. But see, the Lord is not going to take, and the Lord won't take me, and it won't take you, and he didn't take you, and he didn't take me, and he will not do it to anybody else, and grab a hold to them and drag them here in church and drag them to the altar and say, this is it. You get saved right today or not. He's not that way. He's a God of love. And also he's a God of wrath also, but all right, let's go to in the book of Acts, chapter 4. I was aiming to go back over some things that I forgot this morning when I was preaching, but I believe the Lord wants me to go this route tonight, but it's talking about here the state of the church. The church has already been established. We know that Peter had went and had went about doing what God has asked him to do, and what God had burdened Peter down to do. Which it doesn't make no difference who we are, or how elegant we can speak, or how much we know, or anything. But I believe this, as soon as the Lord speaks to an individual to go somewhere and to do something, then we must be mindful for that. We must thank him that he has spoken to us, that we can be able to go. But we can see also of the first church, and we see where over in the first part of Acts chapter 2, talking about the Pentecost and talking about Peter there. And Peter there, he brought one of the greatest messages that there ever was. And we know that not only that, but when he was there preaching, it brought right other individuals. It brought right the other priests. It brought right the other individuals that were proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came and they preached in the language of their own people, because there was different languages there. There was different tribes there. What if you want to call them a tribe or whatever? But it was a different sect there. There was different people. And yes, even though today we can, when you take, really, just take this church right here, Faith Baptist. If the Lord had spoke, if the Lord spoke to me and spoke to you, and I believe it's a two-way, and I believe that's a two-way subject too. I just don't believe that God will speak to the man of God.
about him ending up going somewhere else and trying to help another church. I believe the church is going to also know too, because I believe God will speak to them also. Because the reason I say that is because if there is 150 churches in Danville, Virginia, and the Ringgold in the county here, there's 150 churches. I would say all 150 of them, majority of them is going to be at the will of God. And the majority of them is at the will of God. Where at? In the pulpit. Because why do pastors leave church? Why do they go from this church and go to another church? Why do they leave? They leave. The number one thing today is the M-O-N-E-Y, money. They don't have the community in their heart. Because I don't understand how a pastor can get up and stand in the front of the congregation that the Lord has given them, that he can stand and tell the people that I love you. If anything at all I can do for you, let me know. Then they turn around. 3 or 4 months later, they'll come up. And they say the Lord has spoke to them about taking another work. I'm not going to question that, because I don't know if God's spoken to them or not. But I believe a whole lot of time the wallet does the speaking to a whole lot of them. The wallet does the speaking. I definitely believe that. I know of a preacher. He's dead and gone now. But he lived up out on it between Martinsville and Bassett. And the church had grown. People in there being saved. And the church was always good to him. The church would, in the fall, they would always make sure that he had wood there at the house. Make sure he had always had firewood there. And in the summertime, they make sure that he always had fresh vegetables there. They took care of him. Then one day he said that, and he went to his people. And that morning, he didn't do it on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, but it was on a Sunday morning when the whole church was completely full. I mean, he had built the church up. He had done what God has asked him to do. And the church was growing. 400 or 500 people. I mean, it wasn't that he lacked anything. The church took care of him financially. They took care of him in transportation and all of that. But he come up one Sunday morning. And he said, I know what I'm about to tell each and every one of you. Some of you is not going to like it. But I want to let you know that this is one thing that I've agonized in prayer and making sure that this is what God wants in my life. He left the church He left the church and he was, I don't know how much money he was making. But he took another little small church. A little small church. He took that church. He walked in that Sunday morning for his first message. He did not have no idea what the offering would be, what money that even the people could afford. The first week there, they give him $20. They said, "Preacher, pastor, that's all we can afford." He says, "I did not come for you to pay me a big salary. I didn't come for you to pay me $200 or $300 a week. I didn't come for that. I came because that's what God wanted me. And I agonized over it." He left a church. You know who he had in mind? He had in mind the people. The people that wanted something. They wanted something more than what they had. And he went. He went. The second week that he was there. They didn't have a Wednesday night service. They just had Sunday morning, Sunday night. But the second week he was there. Had two individuals come up to get saved. One of them was a Sunday school teacher. And the other one was a deacon that came up and got saved. That's what it's all about. That's what it's about, is seeing people saved. Seeing whether our life can be turned completely around. And that they can serve someone that cares for them. I've never have been in it for the money. I never will. I've had literally churches turn me down because I would not give them a amount it would take for me to come. One of them was between Chatham and Gretna. Turn me down. Why? Because I would not tell them how much it would take for me to come. I've had others to tell me the same thing. They want to know. And the reason they want you to tell them something, they know if I told them that, well, can you afford $200, $300 a week? They said, "Oh, yeah." See, then, that's what they can say. That's what they can say, like all the other people out here said. People today, they don't think anything about a pastor. They don't know what the duty of a pastor is in the church. They think that because he's up there preaching, that he's up there because he don't want to get his fingernails. He don't want to get no dirt on his fingernails. He don't want to have the rough palms. That's not the reason. That's not the reason that I do it. I do it because because what Jesus Christ has done for me. He's done a whole lot more for me than I ever have and I will ever do for him. I can't outdo him. But there are people. I said, "Well, all I see is, well,
Faith Baptist Church? They hired you down there, didn't they?
No, they didn't hire me.
They said, well, ain't you the pastor down at the church? I said, yep, sure am.
Well, so they hired you, didn't they? I said, no, sir. They said, well, are they paying anything? Yeah, they give you what they can. Well, they said, well, they hired you. I said, no, they didn't either. Because when I went in there, and that's one reason I've never told the church, that's one reason that I will never tell another church, I'll never tell anybody, and give them a price for me to go and speak to them, preach to them. Because I don't want nobody in the congregation, and I don't want nobody in the community that would have the obligation and come up and tell me, say, well, preacher, you know, you've been there for a while. I said, you know, some things that you're doing, I'm 50 years old. Trying to tell me what to do. You know, I mean, you could take right here, you take the church right here, and if your church comes up and the next spring they decide they want to put new carpet in. Well, we don't have anybody sitting over there. We got everybody sitting over here. Well, and you start discussing about what kind of carpet you want. We're going to have some people say, I like that little plush carpet. I like the carpet that's down, that's not real all that plush. What color do you want? Well, I don't know, red be all right. Well, you know, I'm kind of in favor of that little blue they got now. I'm in favor of this, and I'm in favor of that. For the church to come up and say, well, I want to do this, and I want to do that. That should not get in my way. As long as the individual in the church leaves me alone while I'm in the pulpit preaching the gospel, that's what it's all about, is the gospel. Like I said this morning, what did I say this morning? Well, people today, only thing that they know about the gospel today is that they know the gospel. Where the gospel should teach us how to come out of sin. The gospel can teach us in our life the way that we must go. But yet, the people come into the house of God. They come into the place of worship. They don't come in and allow the gospel to change their life. But they come in and wanting to change the gospel to suit their own sin. I had a book at the house and I was reading it and everything, and I got kind of curious about it after I was reading it. And this individual said, he says, in the King James Bible, we have more verses than I am, than all the other books and all the other Bibles that they got out here. They say that the NIV, the natural inspired version. They want it to inspire them. They don't want it to inspire them to where they can go out and give it out to someone else. But in the book of Mark,
I believe it's the book of Mark. It's one book. But in the book of Mark, it's one complete chapter. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's either chapter 20 or 21. And I think it was in the book of Mark. I can't say for sure. But the whole chapter, that whole chapter was left out. It's not there. It's not there. And what is it dealing about? The whole chapter is dealing about sin. It's dealing about the individuals, the people, and the sin that's rampant. The church today is rampant with sin. There's more sin in the church today than there is out in the world. Now, that's a big statement, and I wouldn't want to say that that's true, but that's what a whole lot of people are saying today. But there's more sin in the house of God than there is in the world itself. Why? Because the churches has allowed people just to come in and to be talked to, not to be preached to, and not to be preached to in a way to where the Holy Spirit will convict the heart. If no one's heart gets convicted by the Holy Spirit, then there's no other way that they'll ever get saved. No other way that they'll ever get saved besides the Holy Spirit speaking to the heart. What's conviction? Who brings conviction? The Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about conviction before I got saved. But after I got saved, I knew what it was all about. Yes, I was accusing my wife, and I was accusing my friends, and I said, what in the world y'all done? But I'll tell you one thing. Y'all got some friends up at that church y'all know real close. Y'all real close. Because you told them everything about me. You told them what I done in the past. You told them everything about me. And I didn't like that. I told the individual, individuals, there was a friend of ours, him and his wife both. Me and him both, we used to go fishing on Sunday. We'd always go to Bugs Island Lake on Sunday and we'd go fishing. We didn't go to Bugs Island, we'd be at Hyco. And if we wanted a Bugs Island or Hyco, we'd be at Smith Mountain or Philpot Dam, one or the other. But then there was one day that I called and I asked him, I said, there was, I think it was on a Thursday, I asked him, I said, what time you want to leave, sir? Sunday morning. Well, I can't go this Sunday. I said, okay. He didn't go. I didn't go. Come to find out, he went to church. Come to find out, he'd got saved. Oh, he didn't say anything to me about all of that. But then he come and he talked to me and invited me to the church. He invited me up at the Brush Harbor Baptist Church. That's where he was going. And that's where his wife was going. And his wife had already got my wife, got Shelby and got Christy in there. They was going to church up there. And they would come back. They'd come out there on Friday night or Saturday night. And we'd be sitting there talking and they'd say, Wish you'd really come to church Sunday. You just need to come up there. He'll make it so plain the way you can understand it. Yes, he preaches from the King James Bible. But he'll explain it the way you can understand it. And he did. He did. He explained it. After I finally heard him preach the Sunday after that. Because that Sunday that I went, he won't die. Now, I don't know how many Rodriguez that there is in the United States or in the world. But there's a bunch of them. But his last name was Rodriguez. He was a missionary. I mean, he stood about that tall. He had wide shoulders. And he was up there preaching. He was preaching about heaven, and then he was preaching about hell. He ended up on hell. Started out on heaven, but he ended up on hell. And I said to myself, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to definitely get on them when I get home. I'm going to definitely get on him the next time I see him. Because I don't like them going around and telling other people about me and so many things that I do. I don't like that. But they hadn't told him a thing. And you know, and you can't take it up with the Holy Spirit. You can't say, well, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to curse the Holy Spirit? Well, if you do, you damn then, right there. There's no way in the world you'll ever get saved. But they said, well, we ain't told them nothing. Don't nobody up there know anything about you. They just know where you work at, we just prayed. And we just asked them to pray for you, that we'd love to see you in church. I looked at my wife, I said, are you sure that's all you said? I said, now don't you lie to me now. I mean, that's the way I felt. But that old preacher, he was way up here. And his arm was it was probably about a foot longer than mine. But I'll tell you one thing. His forefinger, to me it seemed like it was about 40, maybe 50, 60. Feet long, because he was going down there and he was pointing at me, right at you. But then you could see, I could see where his finger was going in and then going back and then around somebody else and around and all that until he got to me. See, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit knows exactly who he needs to get to. That's what you call conviction. That's what you call conviction. The people today, they don't know what conviction is all about anymore. And an individual that don't know anything about conviction, they don't know anything about respect either. Have you seen a time in your life when people today do not respect one another? They don't respect the mother. They don't respect the father. They don't respect the peers at all. Why? Because the parents has allowed things like that to crumble and to get into our life to where they don't understand anymore. They don't understand why the child acts up the way they act. They don't understand why the child talks back to them and don't have no respect for them and will not go and say, "I'm sorry," or anything like that. Everything boils down to the parents. And then what it really boils down to it, it boils down to the church that's in that community and that's around and that where they ain't preaching the Word of God. That's where lies it right there. That's where everything festers to, right there, around that pastor, around that preacher, around that church. If they don't respect him, and if they don't respect the house of God in the community, are they going to respect the children? No. Are they going to respect their spouse? No. They're not going to have any kind of respect at all for nothing. And we know what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches us about respect. We know what it means. We know where the Bible teaches us, and it needs to teach the smaller individuals out here that for them to be able to, for people to treat them with any kind of dignity at all, that they need to have some kind of respect for individuals. And they need to have respect for their own life. How many times did you hear people, these young kids out here anymore, talk back to the family, talk back to mom and dad? If they don't have enough respect, the way the mother gave them birth, brought them into this world, and then they don't have enough respect for the father, the why the father goes out here and works a full-time job, and the mother goes out here, and yes, they have to work today to provide for the children. If they don't have enough respect for their child, to where they can come, go out there and go to work, to be able to put food on the table, how do we expect the children to be any better than what they are? Hey, the children is like the parents. That's what the children is all about. Brother Bill, come on. That's what they're all about. They don't have respect no more. And we must get back to the old path. We need to get back. I know some people, some preachers, they don't even like to even talk about the Old Testament. They don't even like to get into the Old Testament and read the Old Testament. But I come to find out, reading the Old Testament, the Old Testament would do something for people. They just get in there and read and allow the Holy Spirit to teach them what it says. You take the book of Job. That is one great book there of everything that's in it. Did Job
sin against God. God called him a righteous man. Could God call millions, or would God say to you about me that he's a righteous man with all that he's going through? Could he say the same thing about you and all we went through? We haven't went through nothing. We haven't went through no pain, no agony. But I do know one thing. It doesn't make any difference what we did go through. He's still there. Yeah. Yeah. He's still there. He still wants to hear from us. Sister Huff, he's still there in heaven. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you to where you can bring up your children and your grandchildren to him. Because he's the only one that can help them. Same way with each one of us. He is the only one that can help us as individuals, can help us with our family. The family is the hardest individual to witness to. And the reason for that is because they know what we used to be when we didn't know God. They know all about the past. And the sinners, the ones that's not saved, what do they want to do? They want to hang on to the past. They want to hang on to the past. We don't need to hang on to the past. We don't need to hang on to yesterday. We don't need to hang on to this morning. The only thing that we can hang on right now is what is happening right now. Pray to God that God will allow us to be able to wake up in the morning and be able to pray for somebody. It doesn't, I mean, yes, maybe we prayed for them. But the Lord always wants to hear from his children. Just like that little boy, and I'm going to close with this now, really. Don't laugh, y'all. Like that little boy. He'd go to bed at night, and his mother would come in there with him. And he'd kneel on the floor right beside his bed, and he would pray. And he would ask the Lord to touch his family. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'd love to see my father's lady. I'd love to see him saved." A young lady there, doing it night after night, night after night, routine after routine. But it wasn't no routine. He done it because it was in his heart to do it. Him and his quicker and explore. One night, him and his mother walked into his bedroom. He knelt on the floor. And he was by ready to pray. He said, "Lord, you know, I've been praying for my father. I'd love to see him saved. But tonight, I'm tired.
I've been playing all afternoon, going to school, and then thinking I'm tired. I know that you don't sleep any. You're always awake. You always hear us. And you will always answer the prayers that we have. He says, so Lord, tonight, if you don't mind, I'm going to get into bed tonight. And I'm going to give me a good night's rest tonight. Because it's no need in me staying up. And you stand up too. Because you will stay up. When I stay up or not. You know, the Lord, He's that way. He is that way. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He's always talking to us, speaking to us. So what is He doing? He's praying. That's what He's doing. He's praying. He's praying for us as individuals. Because that's what the Word of God calls us. We'll do when we talk, when we just talk to God. If we pray, right? So when God talks to us, means that He's praying for me. He's praying for you. I love Him tonight more tonight than I ever have in my lifetime. I don't see how I could love Him any more than I love Him tonight. But when tomorrow comes, I can be able to. Because I had no idea what tomorrow's going to be. You don't know, and I don't know. But we know who holds our hand.
Yes.
He knows where we're at. And we know where we're at. We are in the palm of His hands. If we are in His palm, nobody can snatch us away from Him. The devil, he tries every week. But the devil cannot snatch us away from Him as long as we go and talk to Him. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this service tonight. Father, we thank You for each and every word that was spoken. Father, we ask, Lord, now that You will apply it to each one of our hearts, Father. And Father, this week, Lord, be with us as we go about this week. And Father, that we can share the gospel to someone this week. And Father, that yes, that they looking for somebody just to come around and share the gospel. Just tell them about an individual that truly loves them and went and died and was buried and was raised again on the third day for their soul. Father, we thank You, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.